the highest level of competition, U.S. bred horses are a force around the globe. Winning has no boundaries.
Welcome to the latest Racing Post Bloodstock postcast. We're looking ahead to Fassick Tipton on Tuesday and Keeneland on Wednesday, the breeding stock sales in Kentucky. Fassick Tipton's a one-day affair and Keeneland runs to the 17th. Seems to me positively boutique-y compared to the gigantic September sale. I'm Andrew Scutts and here with Nancy Sexton to look ahead to it. So in terms of the horses who might sort of command big attention, big fees next week, Nancy, who catches the eye? I would just say we're talking before the Breeders' Cup meeting on Friday and Saturday. Obviously has the potential to change things, add value to horses, detract value to some horses possibly. Absolutely. But what mares catch your eye at this stage?
Well, as you alluded to, Fassick Tipton have put together a really strong catalogue, as ever. They call it the Night of the Stars, and once again, it lives up to that billing. And they've also got several supplementary entries that they're going to keep adding. And, we should probably stress that all the horses running in the Breeders' Cup, obviously, are top-notch mares, so they go there sort of in great form. And, if one was to come out and win, I suppose Midnight Bisou would be the obvious highlight. She's on a run of, I think, she's unbeaten this year in 7 starts. So she's a multiple Grade 1 winner, and she goes into the Breeders' Cup Distaff, with a really good winning chance. And should she win, then that's just the icing on the cake.
Yep.
And there are others. Blue Prize, who won the Spinster the other day. She's a good, tough filly. Bellafina, obviously very good 2-year-old, very well bred. Wildcat, Got Stormy, who beat the Colts in the 4-stars, Dave Saratoga. She's a really tough mare. She backed up off of that win. I think she had a 7-day rest or something, which in America is quite rare.
Yeah.
So, they've all got, huge residual value, and whoever buys them, they may want to press on and keep running them. But as you say, there are 10 sets horses in the sale that are in the Breeders' Cup.
Is it possible to sort of say what difference a winner at the Breeders' Cup might
make? With a mare like Midnight BC, probably, it'd be the icing on the cake. But say, someone's at the Breeders' Cup, particularly a Japanese breeder, for instance, or you're sort of into 5-6 million territory, I would say, if one was to win and win impressively.
Okay, yeah, and she's 5-4 favourite for the Distaff. Ollie's Candy.
Oh yes.
Sells at Keeneland's, another in the race, mm-hmm. and also selling at Keeneland Spice Perfection, the filly and mare sprint against Bellafina, you've just mentioned.
I mean, the horse like Lafina, for instance, who's the Dam of Bust, who is the dominant 2-year-old filly out in California at the moment. I mean, Bust looks like she's got the Breeders' Cup to lose, her famous last words. But if she were to go and win, that really would push her value, and she sells alongside her pioneer of the Nile Foal. So, it's going to be a huge package.
Yeah. And just a couple of to mention also, Little Indy and Take Charge Brandy, who, of course, is going through the ring again at Keeneland.
They're quite different animals. Little Indy made, I think, $11,000 last year at Keeneland. The last time Take Charge Brandy went through the ring, 6 million, she topped the sale.
Slight difference, yeah.
Slight difference. Little Indy, she's interesting. We were discussing her earlier. I think at the time of her sale, there wasn't a lot going on the page. And she'd had a few chances. She was in foal to New Year's Day, who'd been exported to Brazil at that stage. And they sell her for 11,000 to Korea. And then Gary and Mary West had her. And then they run Maximum Security, her son, in a claimer for $16,000. Math Wizard was in the same race, who goes to the Classic. Unbelievable that a $16,000 claimer, Gulfstream, can throw up two of the best horses in America this year.
Yeah.
And so they obviously didn't think much of him, but he's just gone from strength to strength. He's in a muddy sort of three-year-old crop. He's him and Code of Honor probably stand out, and he won the other day, won at grade three. So while all this is going on, I think he'd won the Florida Derby. Tom Ryan of SF Bloodstock, who's pretty sharp, thinks outside the box, he buys her back from Korea and comes back. She comes back with her foal by New Year's Day, and the upshot is he's now selling the dam of a Kentucky Derby winner and a sister to a Kentucky Derby winner. So, and the only Korean bred in the catalogue.
Yes, stands out.
Does stand out, yeah.
Okay, and just sort of looking back at a couple of previous sales and a couple of mares who have gone for big money in the past at Keeneland, who would you pick out?
Well, last year's sale was, Lady Eli topped last year's sale, and Phasic, I think there are 20-odd million-dollar lots.
Yeah.
Lady Aurelia being the pick.
Yeah, 7.5 million, Lady Aurelia.
Absolutely. Harvard Grace a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Songbird.
Yeah.
And then you go back to, you know, in history, and Mariah Storm topped the sale, and Carrying Giant's Causeway.
Yeah.
We all know what she's gone on to do for John Magna.
Vatican City, of course, winning this week in...
Absolutely.
Dundalk makes it topical.
Absolutely. You couldn't have been more impressive. Nice form boost for Kinross.
Yeah.
So, but the other end of the spectrum, you know, there's a couple of bargain buys. If you do your homework, there are six books. Keeneland have thrown in a nice 3-day book six this year, which is unheard of. I'm sure, I think Sweeter Still came out of book six last year, I'm pretty sure.
And at an incredible price, given...
She's now the dam of... Kamiko, isn't she?
Yes, so. Of course. And we're talking, of course, before the Vertem Futurity as well. So that's a possible...
Yeah, could be a nice update. But she's the most... it was an incredible story because only in 2014 she topped Keeneland January. I think she made 750. 2 years later, she makes 35, I think. And then last year, I think it was someone called Timothy Thompson who picked her up for 1,500. I mean, I don't know how you explain that kind of depreciation to an accountant. I mean, it's quite... and now she's, you know, she's a Group 1 producer, as it is, or could be. And she's a Grade 2 winner, I think. She's a half-sister to King's Barnes. I mean, it was...
Looks easy
we
now.
We all missed her.
Yeah.
You know. But she hadn't produced anything. I remember that she hadn't had a winner before Kamiko, and he was a very nice yearling. Obviously, because David Redford's bought him, but I remember him. He was by far the best she'd produced. And she was in foal on a June cover to one of Calumet's weird horses, something called Optimizer. So what are you going to do with that, you know, if you're European?
Mm.
So, and there are others along the way.
Walter Hole, of course, another topical one, given a technician's victory last weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 35,000 doesn't seem too bad for her.
And I think she was stakes placed as well. She's an Oasis Dream.
Yeah.
And she was in foal to Noble Mission, who's, you know, he's doing really well. I mean, and on dirt, which, you know, Frankel's little brother, who stayed a mile and a half on turf. I mean, he's probably the best leading second crop sire out there. It's slightly behind Golden Sense. But if Code of Honour were to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, that would be... huge, vindicates Lane's end decision to send him over.
So a big range of prices and opportunities at the lower end as well.
Absolutely. Well, there's so many horses, you know, and if you do your homework, you will come up with something. I think Martin Stevens in the pullout, he's pinpointed a few.
That's right. Yeah, he mentioned Ginger Nut, who of course will be familiar to listeners and watchers over here as the winner of the Super Sprint.
And which is the Havana Gold filly right at the Chicola
Havana? Yeah,
she was very quick and well bred.
And those mares who might appeal more to European buyers potentially, that they would be maybe the more reasonably priced as well.
It depends, you know. If Europeans land on a certain horse, several Europeans, they can drive up the price. But on the other hand, you know, not everybody stays to the later books, and people have sale fatigue, they're thinking about goths. You know, if something's there lurking in books 4, 5, and 6, you've got a good chance of picking it up. But then, of course, you know, you might want to bring it home, and that's an extra $10,000. But yes, if just the sheer volume of horses, really.
Yeah.
It's a shameful plug. I work for Schumer Bloodstock, and we went out on behalf of David Hodge to buy the Damned Soldier's Call, and she cost, $15,000. But she was stakes placed, and that was all David. You know, he'd found her, he'd bred her, he'd found her in the catalogue, and he bought her. What would she have made if she'd been in Europe? Probably significantly more. It was just the owner had her. He wanted, you know, he didn't want an Iceman filly in Kentucky. You know, that's understandable. Mm. So, you know, she was let rip.
Okay. And sort of the appeal of US breds to European pinhookers and buyers speaking generally these days. I remember when I was growing up, the sort of USA suffix used to be almost obligatory. So top horses here and all horses come to it. See, our Derby winners used to go and stand in America. Yep, that's lessened off. But I just wondered whether the influence of certain horses and sires lately might sort of just be turning things the other way. Scat Daddy and War Front and Kitten's Joy, etc.
Yeah, it probably has at the higher end, definitely. As you say, Kitten's Joy, well, he's the leading turf sire out there, has been for several years now.
Mm.
And, you know, obviously had several sons come over to Europe and stand at stud. Same with Warfront, Scat Daddy. I'm not sure that, you know, pinhookers used to go over there and they could come back with some really obscure things. I'm not sure those days are, you know, they're probably gone, to be honest, in the yearling market.
Mm.
But the Breeze Up Boys show, you never know what's going to work over here. I mean, who would have thought Dialed In would have sort of captured everybody's imagination over here? You know, Robert Cowell buys two, they're both stakes winners. Now the Breeze Up Boys have honed in on him. And, you know, best of my knowledge, there are 5 coming back out of the yearling sales, coming back over here. You'd never have picked him in a million years to have worked well here. So you just don't know. Pinhookers, you know, someone like Jerry Burke would go out every year and buy fillies with a good pedigree and do well, you know, and it didn't really matter what they were by. They would, you know, you'd get them walking well and sort of their pedigrees, you can sell that. But I would say for the most part, pinhookers are probably sticking with, you know, your More Than Readies and your Spider Towns, Noble Missions, Cara Conti.
Okay. And, of course, there'll be plenty of young stock selling as well as brood mares next week and beyond. I mean, looking at the sort of interesting sires with first crop foals, who are among the horses you'd pick out there?
It's a deep crop this year. You know, Arrogate stands out.
Yeah.
I think anybody who saw that Travers win, you know, he was a freak.
Leading all-time American earnest.
Absolutely. Horse. I suppose if you were to be really critical, you'd be a question mark over his sire Unbridled Song, but as a sire of sires. But Liam's Map has done a little bit to redress that balance this year. He's had come up with 2 Grade 1 winners in his first crop. So I'm looking forward to seeing the Gunrunners.
Yeah.
I thought he was a terrific horse.
Yeah, very tough horse, durable and consistent.
Out for Half Sister to St. Liam, you know, he's got a lot going for him. Mastery would be another one. He looked very good when he could have been the top 3-year-old of his year. He broke down winning the San Felipe, but he's with the right place in Claiborne and he's got the right pedigree by Candy Ride and he's a very good looking horse. So I can see people really latching onto him.
Yeah.
And of course, Coolmore they've got 3. They have Practical Joke, who's he's by the right sign into Mischief. He's a very good 2-year-old, very fast horse. Classic Empire, another very good 2-year-old, Pioneer of the Nile. And Cupid, who's a Tappet horse. And, you know, it will help all these young Tappets coming through that Tappet now is starting to look like a sire of sires. You know, he's got constitution and tapature. So that's changed in the past year. So it's a deep group, an interesting group. And Lord Nelson, you know, you can't forget him because he was a very, very fast horse, very well bred, and he almost died to laminitis. They almost lost him, spent a year trying to get him right. And so he's a bit of a miracle horse in any crop we have now. You know, we're going to have to sort of pay attention to him.
Okay.
So.
And you mentioned Into Mischief and Constitution there. In terms of sort of the landscape generally at the moment, I mean, the sort of stallions like Into Mischief, Quality Road, both had their prices hiked to 200,000. Are they to the fore of established size?
Absolutely, yes. They've risen through the ranks. Into Mischief started off, I think, at 7,500. Didn't have many foals and early crops, did very well. Trainers like them. They're quick. They're genuine. They're, you know, he's very much the flagship horse of Spendthrift, and deservedly so. And now his son's Golden Sense doing well at stud. There are a few others coming through. So, yes, he's leading the champion sires list at the moment. I think with $15 million sort of earnings, which is huge.
And Spendthrift intent on sort of returning to a golden era as well, of course. Into Mischief helping to do that.
They've got a massive roster, and they seem to be adding to it monthly. And they've got some really interesting horses for next year, some new horses. So, yeah, that stallion barn is very full over there. And Quality Road the same. He's a really nice tribute to Ned Evans, who bred him, and he's. You know, he barely does a month go by when he doesn't have a graded stakes horse.
And Constitution and American Pharaoh among the
up and comers. Well, they've been wrestling it out, the champion first crop sires, and a lot will hinge on the Breeders' Cup. They're both quite well represented. Mm. American Pharaoh has every right to do well. He covered an exceptionally strong and large book in his first year, as he has done since. They're gets a nice physical, and they should improve with time. Constitution did not run at 2, so everything he's doing at the moment is, it marks him down as a pretty special horse. He's just one good winner after another, and a couple of grade one winners, you know, and a very good filly in Amalfi Sunrise, who I'm told is, you know, she was particularly good. I'm not sure she's going to run again. Anyway, he was a very good horse, and he stood for a fair fee at Windstar, but he wouldn't have had the same calibre of mares as American Pharaoh. And the fact he is doing very, very well, and there are others as well. I mean, Competitive Edge stands alongside American Pharaoh Ashford, and it's probably, I don't know, completely different levels in the market, but he's always going to be overshadowed by him. But he's done well. He's had a couple of stakes winners. Yep. Seems to be doing very well in New York. I think it's a very, very deep crop of first crop sires they've got out there. Liam's Map, be another one. Commissioner with Palace Malice is doing very well. He could get a Breeders' Cup winner.
As you say, the Breeders' Cup has got the potential to change things for updates, etc. Are you looking forward to any race in particular or any horse in particular running?
The mile, I suppose. I'm a big fan of Got Stormy. I think she's, you know, she's really tough, as I said, and a classic. I'd like to see Code of Honour win.
Yeah.
I think he's danced every dance. He's been very well trained, very well managed. You know, he ran a very good race in the Kentucky Derby, and then they sort of left off him a bit. He's a very late May foal. So, and then he came back and he won the Travers, and I think he goes into the classic with a huge chance. Obviously, it's a very deep race, but if he were to win it, then obviously I'd say he'd be champion 3-year-old. And it'd be nice for Noble Mission to have, you know, because I don't think any of us expected him to have a top dirt runner in his. Or a horse is always surprising you, and his dam was a very good dirt runner.
Yeah.
But what about you?
I quite like the Daughter of Shamadal, classic winning Castle Lady. Thought the mile 2 tomorrow would be better for her than when she ran last time. So I think at around 14-1, I would.
She's 14-1, that's quite a good.
So she looks a fair each way bet. I'm quite looking forward to seeing Bricks and Mortar again, who I saw at Gulfstream in January.
Did you?
be interesting to see how his form stacks up against European top notches like Old Persian and Anthony van Dijk.
That is a fascinating race because he's bricks and mortar. He's carried all before him this year, and he could well be horse of the year if he were to win.
Yeah. Is it an indication generally of sort of the move towards more interest and better turf horses in America? Is he an example of that? Or do we need to see more before we...
Yes, in that he's caught the imagination a bit, I'd say, out there, and he's been very well handled. And he came back from serious injury. Like, they didn't think he was going to run again. He had a string halt issue, and he was off a long time.
That's right. They credited the vets, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Sort of doing a great job there.
But the fact he's going to stud in Japan, which is great for him, but it suggests that American stud farms weren't queuing up to stand him. So, I don't know. I mean, there's a massive push towards turf racing out there at the moment. And a lot of money's going into it. But whether the farms and the market have caught up yet, I don't know. It might be a couple of years before we see. You know, it's still quite hard to sell a turf horse out there. You've got a limited audience.
Yep. Of course, Donald Trump will be in town on Monday. He won't be at Facing Tipton or Keeneland, presumably.
I mean, he's good friends with Peter Brandt, so it's possible. I feel for anyone in the Hyatt this week. Thankfully, I won't be there. I'll be out.
Better hotel,
yes.
Yeah.
No, because traffic in Lexington can be bad anyway. This is just going to make it challenging.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, anybody interested, there's a Keep America Great rally going on and tickets can be bought.
Okay, that's interesting to know. Good point to close on, possibly. There might not be a sale come Tuesday or Wednesday. Just before we go, actually, we'd just like to plug the breeding stock supplement that was published last week. It's online at the moment. And thanks to Nancy for joining us here today. And thanks for watching and listening.
At the highest level of competition, U.S. bred horses are a force around the globe. Winning has no boundaries.